Good evening and welcome to Word on Wine, a program which explores the history and culture of the world's favorite beverage. I'm Jonathan Polevsky, and I'm going to talk about one of the world's favorite beverages today, and that is the whiskey sour.
And I'm Mary Zajac, and I think I'm going to be listening.
I have an old history with the whiskey sour, and it goes back literally to adolescence when you would go to bar mitzvahs, and that was the drink of choice. Gimlets and whiskey sours was very exciting, and we weren't allowed to have them because we were underage, which of course made it completely tantalizing.
I associate whiskey sours and sort of the other drinks that you're talking about later in the 70s and the early 80s when all my cousins were getting married. I'm the youngest of the first generation, mm-hmm. So they were all getting married then. That's the drink that my aunts would have.
Ladies' lunch.
And ladies' lunch. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. The cousins would be drinking things like pina coladas and sea breezes and fuzzy navels.
Pink
but the
ladies?
Aunts, not pink ladies. I don't remember that. But the aunts were drinking whiskey sours.
Nice. So the whiskey sour is just any kind of whiskey. In, of course, my youth, it was Canadian whiskey, which we called rye, lemon juice, and simple syrup of some kind, or sugar if you wanted as well. Sometimes you put a little soda water in there to make it a little bit lighter. Mm-hmm. If you didn't use simple syrup, that worked really, really well. It changes dramatically when you change the spirit. Of course, when I immigrated to the United States and came to this country on Amtrak train in 1982, I discovered bourbon whiskey, which is excellent. And bourbon makes a really different whiskey sour.
Yeah, it gives it a little depth and heft, brings out more of the caramel flavors, deeper, richer. I like it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really nice complement to the citrus.
And then America rediscovers rye whiskey in the not-too-distant past, which, of course, it had abandoned like a stepchild after World War II, and everybody started making bourbon and no one made rye, and all of a sudden rye has come back with a vengeance, especially in this area, actually all over the United States.
Right?
And the rye sour, it's a little more bite.
Yes.
Less smoothness, less buttery kind of brown sugar. Texture.
Yeah.
And of course, there is the subject that we had not too long ago, people who use egg white in their whiskey sour and people who don't use egg white in their whiskey sour. I think because of salmonella and nervousness about egg white, the egg white has disappeared completely from the bar in the United States.
Actually, I think it is coming back in some of the hipster cocktail bars, but it did go away for a very long time.
When I was in Chile, they served pisco sours as an aperitif, which is just a pisco and lime along with simple syrup and a little bit of bitters of some sort, either pecho or angostura. And they used they would poke a little hole in the egg and just pour a little bit of egg white in it.
Nice. So the egg could last for a couple different cocktails.
That's exactly it. Yeah. I watched this, completely impressed at the bar with the bar tender who's doing some unbelievable things. So sours are really special. They're easy to make and you don't have to pay $15 for one, in a fine bar, although it's a nice thing to go out all the time. But if you want to make one at home, you can do that to your heart's content.
And you can vary the liquor. Certainly, we were talking about Collins as a gin-based sour.
Yes, and Daiquiri's as a rum-based sour. Just once again, spirit, citrus, simple syrup. That's all you need, three ingredients, and you can add whatever you want for garnish, and you can add whatever you want in terms of any kind of bitter.
How sweet it is.
It is indeed, and yet it is sour. For Word on Wine, I'm Jonathan Polevsky.
I'm Mary Zajac.
Cheers.